South of Mount Father. Today, we receive the revelation that is found under the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus today as he sees us in himself. He's glorified, glorified.
Clarity
comes to us today. As the word is taught and received. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, we started yesterday as we get prepared for our prayer retreat. We started yesterday on a topic, when men pray. Hallelujah. When men pray. And I said to us that this topic was, let me just say, it's a teaching we have to take after I told us some surrounding events, how I was talking to a friend of mine, actually a friend of mine, a lady, so we got having a conversation and I asked her, did you pray today? Oh no, sorry, I said, how many minutes did you pray today? I didn't even want to talk about us. Hallelujah. And he responded, why would you say minutes? He didn't even ask how many seconds. I'm like, are you for real? Seconds? In my head, I'm like, seconds. What do you think prayer to be? Glory to God. Amen. What do you think prayer to be? Seconds? Glory to God. And so people are comfortable praying seconds. I'm surprised. I've not heard that in years, in decades. Seconds. I don't think I've ever prayed for seconds before since I was born. Hallelujah. Seconds. That's interesting, you know. Hallelujah. So some people take prayer like a, how do you put it, like a creed. Father, thank you. I remember in Sunday school we have pray with the five fingers. So, how is it exactly like this? Father, thank you for my friends, my neighbors, my enemies. Thank you, and then thank you for me. And on that, it's even more than 1 minute. So you didn't even say seconds. And I said, I also had a conversation, I guess, with someone else. And I told the person, we just got talking, and I told the person that, okay, during our prayer retreats, we're praying. That we pray during when we have a prayer retreat or GPLR special meeting, that I will pray for about 18 hours, 15 hours minimum. The first day, 15 hours minimum. But I was like, and I said, mind you, we don't rest, we don't sit, we stand. Say, what is the problem? You understand? What is the problem? Is there a problem? You know, I smile. You know, I have to smile like, you've never heard of the big one. Let me tell you about the BCC. So that means they have a bigger problem. So do people have a problem? Must you have a problem involved prayer? Hallelujah. I remember the story of a dear man of God. He said he was praying and praying. While he was praying one day and praying, the Father just came, knocked his door, and gave him a big Bible. Hallelujah. I said, take. Glory to God. I said, take. With fear. Glory to God. So when another man of God told us a story, he said, he was, the Father stopped him and said, where have you been? He said, I've been praying. Very early in the morning, went out to pray and came back. Not only that, the Father, I guess the Father knew when he left and came back. Because he goes like that every day. So, like, why are you coming for? He said, I went to pray. And the Father was a small boy like you. He said, how many sins would you have committed? You see, how people have restricted prayer to and to that you must have committed a whole lot of sins for you to be praying that way. No. People miss it when it comes to prayer. A lot of people think prayer is I pray when there's problem. So The reason why we pray so much in Nigeria
in food
is because Nigeria have problem. So that means if 90% of Nigerian issue is solved, people will stop praying. Are they? No. That's not what prayer is. Glory to God. That's not what prayer is. So we're looking at when men pray. What happens when men pray? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I would want to call it a follow-up on the last teaching we had on prayer, the act of prayer. So it's like a follow-up. Hallelujah. The act of prayer. Glory to God. Just a follow-up teaching from there, from where we stopped there. Now look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28 from verses 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, am I there? Let me get there. I don't want to quote. Let's read together. Matthew 28 from verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. So he says, go make disciples. Hallelujah. Go make disciples. And we say that word make disciples is the word in the Greek matitio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But before then, yesterday we said, when Jesus said go make disciples, we said it will be God's will, right? That will be God's plan. Go make disciples. This is God's plan. This is God's plan for the earth from the beginning. Hallelujah. That's God's plan. So when Jesus says, when Jesus gave the charge, he reads from Genesis. Did you see that? When Jesus gave that charge, go make disciples, he's reading from Genesis. Hallelujah. It's something we're going to see shortly. He's reading from Genesis. Go make disciples. That would be Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 into 27, into 28. He said, let them have dominion over the fishes of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the surface of the earth. That, let them subdue, let them replenish, fill the earth. Now, when it says fill the earth, now when you say fill the earth, that word is the word replenish. Now that word replenish doesn't mean a start, it means what? To refill. Hallelujah. How? Refill with what? Genesis 1:1, heaven and the earth. Right? Glory to God. We looked at all that yesterday. Glory to God. Amen. So this teaching will be out this night. We'll be out this night so that we can actually get to listen to it again and again and again with the act of prayer, everything together into prayer retreats. Hallelujah. So we're getting prepared for prayer retreat. Glory to God. So the word make disciples implies to make students. Make students. Make students of the world. Say, go make students. It's a word, matitio, is a word used for students, how you enroll a child into a citadel of learning. So Jesus is saying, go make students of every nation. Of every nation means irrespective of who their social status, their social recognition. Hallelujah. He says, go make disciples. Glory to God. Go make disciples irrespective of who they are in the society. Glory to God. So when a man is saved, irrespective of who you are, your status in this society, you are made a student. So to be called a disciple or to be born again is to be called a disciple. To be born again is to be called a student of Christ. Is to be called a student of the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is to be called a student of the world. In Matthew 27, just a chapter before, verse 57, we saw a rich man called Joseph of Arimathea, who was called a disciple of Jesus. I believe he's a rich man in the society. And the Bible calls him Jesus' disciple. Glory to God. He's called a disciple of Jesus. A rich man in the society. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have a medical doctor called a disciple in scriptures. Who? Luke is called a disciple. Hallelujah. He's called a disciple. He's a medical doctor. We have tax collectors as disciples. Matthew, a disciple of Jesus, is a tax collector. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Acts of Apostles chapter 6, we saw that many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Many of the priests, the word for priests of those days is not talking about a pastor today, no. Priests of those days are like the balance. Are you following me? Like the custodian of their tradition. They will make disciples. So irrespective of your social status or what you own in the economy, once you are born again, you are a student. So that means if a philosopher, if a philosopher or a professor becomes saved today, he is a student in as much as he is a professor. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he tells us how this is done. Matthew 28:20. It says, teaching them. Did you see the emphasis? Teaching them. That word teaching is the word in the Greek, the didasko. Didasko. That's the word didasko.
Come on. I'm recording there.
That is the word didasko in the Greek. That word didasko implies the act of explaining. We said it is active. Hallelujah. It's active. It's active. The act of explaining. Glory to God. Glory to God. The act of explaining. So that shows you that the primary activity of the local church is what? Teaching. Right? What's the primary activity of the local church? Teaching. Hallelujah. Say teaching them. Because the word, the didasko, is a verb, is an active word. Hallelujah. So it's telling you that the primary activity of this local church is teaching. Glory to God. So the local church is where the word of God is taught primarily. Primarily is it the local church. The local church is not primarily a place of concert. I know some people love concerts very well. But that is not the primary reason for the local church. I've heard someone say, I love that church because of the way they used to sing. That is a misplaced priority. You can't tell me you're going to church because of songs. No! No! Hallelujah! Because the reason for the local church is what? Teaching of the word. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Paul will say in Ephesians 4, he says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, which I say, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, said, till we all come to the unity of faith, to the measure of the status of the fullness of Christ. So he's talking about what? Knowledge. So it's in the local church that we are impacted with the knowledge of God's word. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. So he says, teaching them to observe all what I have commanded. That is another word we began looking at yesterday. Commanded. Commanded. That is the word in the Greek, entelomai. Entelomai in the Greek. That's the word entelomai. It is a word used for how a soldier gives orders to his subordinates. We saw that yesterday. We saw that word entelomai to be how a soldier will give orders to his subordinates. Hallelujah. And he will intend that order is carried out to the latter. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we saw yesterday that word entelomai will cause activeness or activity. Hallelujah. That word will spark activity. That word entelomai will spark activity to spark activeness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when Jesus now says, teaching them to observe means, that's the word teleo in the Greek. Teleo means to look at something closely. So, say, teaching them to observe what I have taught you or what I have commanded you. So, what I have commanded you will carry the weight of the fact that it will not become what? It will cause activity in us. Are you following me? So, when you say teaching them to observe what I have commanded you, remember I told us also that word command will also mean teaching, right? So now, want to follow me? Now, when it says, all that I command you will carry activeness. So that means what Jesus has commanded will now be for us what? Activity. Are you following me? Will now form what we call the believer's walk. The believer's walk. Glory to God. So I have something here. What it implies is that what is taught in the local church is taught so that, so it will become our believer's walk. Did you see that? What is taught so it will become our believer's walk. Therefore, we are taught, then we act. Do you get me? We are taught, then we act. We are taught, then we do. We do what we are taught. Glory to God. Are you following me? When we are taught the word of God, it's to the end that what we do what we are taught. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we began looking at Jesus' instruction as regards prayer. But before we get into that, there are some things I need us to know. Hallelujah. You know, there are some people who tell you, Jesus has prayed my prayer. There's no one who tell you Jesus has prayed my prayer. They'll tell you, Jesus has prayed it all. Prayer is a finished work. No, prayer is not a finished work. Hallelujah. It's not a finished work. Hallelujah. Jesus did not pray my prayer. No. Glory to God. Some people, I've heard someone say, I don't pray much. I don't pray. I just pray. Just mutter some words in prayer because my mom is praying for me. That is a careless talk to have. Hallelujah. Why some other people pay people to pray for them? Have you seen people pay people to pray for them? They'll give you money and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Take money. Pray for me. I want to use this money to connect to your prayer for me. Both you that is doing it and the pastor you are giving. Not pastor. Okay, and the person you are giving to pray for you. Both of you. Eh? I forgive you. Let me know you say what came up for me to say in my mind. But you know, it's just stupidity. Both on the part of the person paying money, believer paying money, and the believer receiving the money. Stupidity. You are connecting. I want to connect with the money. So I don't pray. So I have a lot of work I'm doing. So let me give you money to be praying for me. That's nonsense. Hallelujah. Some people do that. But we're not taught that way. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 22. Let's see something. Luke 22, are you there? Look at verse 31. This is Jesus. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. You see that? That he may sift you as wheat. It says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. He says, I have prayed for you. Jesus said he has prayed for Simon. Right? Glory to God. But doesn't that mean Simon shouldn't pray? Jesus has prayed for Simon. Yes! Look at verse 46. Look at what Jesus said to him in verse 46. It says, why do you sleep? Rise, pray, lest you enter into temptation. I thought he said, I prayed for you. But yet he told them, pray. In fact, before now, he has told them in verse 40, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Yes, he said it again to Simon. He said, pray, so you don't enter into temptation. But I thought he said, he has prayed for him. Did you see? Your prayer is important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Meaning your prayer is something, listen, meaning prayer is something I must be involved in also. The prayer of others for me will be effective when I set out to pray. Do you see that? When I set out to pray. Glory to God. The prayer of others on me will be effective when I set out to pray. Glory to God. Are you following me? When I set out to pray. So I will be found praying. Even though people pray for me, I also must be found praying. Glory to God. I also must be found praying. Look at that verse 46 again. It says, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And we looked at that word yesterday, temptation, to be what? Pirasmos. It also carries the weight of what? My desires. Right? Desires. Because desires, did you see that yesterday? That desires can be, temptations can come from desire. We looked at it from James chapter 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Temptation can come from desires. So, prayer will keep me from falling into temptation. That is what Jesus is telling Peter, John, James, and John. He says, pray that ye fall not into temptation. So prayer will keep me from falling into temptation. That is, prayer will keep me from falling into my desires. To fall into my desires. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fall into my desires. Or fall into the desires, the cares of the world. Prayer will keep me from falling into the pressures of the world. Hallelujah. Prayer will keep me. Glory to God. Into the desires or pressures of the world. So therefore, I must pray. Hallelujah. I must pray. And we began to look at prayer patterned for us by Jesus. That Jesus models prayer for us. In John 1:1. John 1:1. Are you there? Hallelujah. I'm going to be a bit fast. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and God was the Word. He said he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was anything made that is made. He said in him is life, and the life is the light of men. And the light shines in the darknesses, and darkness darkness did not comprehend it. He said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came to bear witness of the light, that all through him may believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That is the true light, the light that gives light to every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave right to be called the children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh. You see that? The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Tabernacled amongst us. Hallelujah. Now, it says, Word which is God in verse 1 became flesh. So, Jesus is God in man. Right? Jesus is God in the flesh. God in man. And in the four Gospels, or put in the Synoptic, we see him having a constant prayer life. Hallelujah. Did we see that yesterday? We saw Jesus in having a constant prayer life. He had chain prayer. He had morning prayer when he prayed early hours. So he observed his chain prayer. Hallelujah. He had all night. He had personal vigil. He had time where he had to let people go, enter into a closet, and he prayed. Hallelujah. He took out distractions of men and went to pray. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he had a constant prayer life, showing us that you cannot live the Christian life outside prayer. You cannot live the Christian life outside prayer. You cannot carry out God's will in the earth without a prayer life, without being given to prayer. You cannot carry out God's will in the earth without prayer. You cannot. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Stopped. My journal has stopped anyone.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So,
You cannot carry out God's will in the earth outside prayer.
And we'll begin looking at what is God's will. What is God's will? So, your question is, what is God's will? We began looking at that. What really is God's will?
And from Genesis 1, from verse 1 into 3, when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now we looked at that word, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And we saw that the word beginning is the word reshit. That word reshit is used for what? Redemption, right? Listen to yesterday's message, is there. Hallelujah, we had that study, right? So when you use the word reshit, it means in the new beginning. In the new beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hope it's okay now. Glory to God. So, in the new beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the water. Now we looked at that word in the beginning. The beginning there is the new beginning. So that means in a new creation, what will you have? Heaven and earth united, right? It now shows you the earth without the heaven. And now said what? The Spirit of God moved. We looked at that word move. That word move will mean the new birth. Hallelujah. That's the word used for the new birth. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 12 is used for the new birth. Hallelujah. You saw the new birth. And we said Paul will employ that word moved. Where? In Romans chapter 8 verse 14. As a goal. We are led. As many as are led by the Spirit. I call the sons of God. Led by the Spirit. Meaning from darkness to light. So what is the will of the Spirit in all the earth? Is the word to move. To lead men. Right? From darkness to light. And we said Genesis 1, 2, 3 is about what? The heart of man. The focus is on the heart of man. Are you following me? It's in the heart of man. So God wants to lead men from darkness to light. Hallelujah. From darkness to light. So are you following me? So that will be redemptive. So Genesis chapter 1, 1 to 3 is actually God's redemption. Verse 26, when he now says, let's make man in our image. That is the same thing he's saying in verses 2 and 3. Hallelujah. So the light is the image. Glory to God. The light is the image. The light is the image. So let's make man. Man, would that be would that be the waters? Yes, the nations, right? Men, hallelujah. So let's make, so the man there is not Adam. We did that study in understanding the gospel. That Adam, as a person, was not the one made in the image of God. Are you hearing me? And I showed us the use of the word Adam in Genesis 1 to 3. That you have to be careful in the use, because the word Adam is used for a person and also used for what? Mankind. So that word in Genesis 1, 23, I said, let's make mankind. In our image, not Adam as a person, but mankind in our image. Hallelujah. That is redemption. He's not talking about Adam as a person. No, he's talking about mankind. Hallelujah. So, now, I want you to follow me. Now, when he now made Adam and put him in the garden and asked him not to eat of a certain of trees and asked him to eat of tree, of a tree and asked not to eat of another tree, is actually, I showed us last week, that is actually giving him choice, right? What kind of choice? To believe the gospel. So when he believes the gospel, that is what he calls the tree of life. When he doesn't believe, that is what? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Are you following me? Glory to God. That is to believe.
Are you following me? So now, a quick one as we proceed. God's plan is for man to be in his image, not Adam. Okay, which does it include Adam and Eve? Yes. Are you following me? Does it include Adam and Eve? Yes, it's God's plan. But was Adam and Eve made in that image? No. They had a choice to come into God's image. Glory to God. So what is God's plan? Let's make man in our image. That will be the light. Hallelujah. That will be the work of the Spirit in chapter 1 verse 2. That will be the Roshid in Genesis 1. Right? That will be the work of the Roshid. That's what will happen in the new beginning. Heaven and earth together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That will be God's will. So God's will is for all the nations of the earth to be found in his Son. It will be to be found in the image. What is God's image? Jesus is the image of God. Colossians 1:15. Hebrews 1 verse 3. Who is the image of God? Christ is the image of God. So when he said let's make man in our image, is it let's make mankind in Christ? Yes. Are you following me? Let us make mankind in Christ. So that is God's will for man to be found in Christ. So when Jesus now said, go make disciples. Making disciples, will they be found in Christ? Yes. Right?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
In Christ, yes. So it's God's will. Mark 16:15. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. To be saved, is that to be in Christ? Yes. That is God's will. Hallelujah. Go into where? All the world. Is it all the world? Is it just Nigeria? Is it just Shogunle? It's all the world. Are you following me? Glory to God. Okay, something we didn't see yesterday. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Quickly. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. It says, and also verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. All men. Is that Genesis 1:2?
Yes,
is that Genesis 1:2?
Yes,
right? All men to be saved and to come to the what? Knowledge of the truth. So God's will is also for man to be saved and for man to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Knowledge of the truth to grow in the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, God's will is men saved, light in all the nations of the earth. Right? So, until this happens, the believer's life is a life of constant prayer. Until this happens, the believer's life is a life of constant prayer. So, because unto the will of God is done. And we find Jesus coming to do the will of God in the earth and he was praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Let's go back to Luke 22 where we were. Luke 22. Look at verse 42. Jesus said, okay, let's start from verse 31. And he was drawn from them, and he was withdrawn from them, and about a stone throw. And he knelt down and prayed. He knelt down and prayed. Hallelujah. Saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He says, he prayed for God's will. Hallelujah. So therefore, Jesus is showing us that prayer keeps a man active in God's will. Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? Prayer keeps me active in God's will. Prayer keeps me in God's will. Take note, prayer is never in the past. Prayer keeps me active in God's will. So I pray more. Hallelujah. Prayer keeps me active. Never get discouraged. No, prayer keeps me active. Glory to God. I remember one day I was praying at home. I prayed and prayed and prayed. And after I was done praying, my mom came back, helped me pray. She didn't say a word. When I was done praying, so I was done praying and sweating. She asked me, "Smart, what's the problem?" I said, "Nothing." She said, no. What's the problem? What is the problem? Hope not. I said, "Nothing. I'm just praying." I said, "Okay. Your hidden problem, God will answer it." How many of you have heard that before? Your hidden request. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Never get discouraged. Hallelujah. So prayer keeps me active in God's will. I like to use this. Prayer keeps me current in God's will. Some people are outdated in God's will. Because the last time they prayed was last year. Some people, last time they prayed was last prayer retreat. No! Last year? Prayer keeps me active in God's will. Are you following me? Prayer keeps me active in God's will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we see that when Jesus prayed like this, what did Jesus come to do? We say he came to do what? Save. To save man. Redemption plan, right? He came to carry out the redemption plan, the redemption work. Glory to God. And he prayed this way. So the redemption, is it for men or for things? For men. We said it during the act of prayer too, right? He prayed for men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a prayer for men. To see men restored. That's why Jesus prayed us. That's God's will. To see men restored. Hallelujah. To see men restored. To see to the fact that men are found in Christ. And that is how it is supposed to be. Men restored. Men are in Christ. Hallelujah. To see men in Christ. That is how it's supposed to be in Genesis. Hallelujah. Remember they came to meet him in Matthew 19. Shall a man put away his wife for every cause? What did he say? He said, they came asking a question. Shall a man put away his wife for every cause? Jesus replied them. And told them what? Have you not read? He that made them in the beginning. Meaning, it was not like that, like this in the beginning. In the beginning, he made them male and female. Hallelujah. That is the redemption plan. Glory to God. That is the marriage. Hallelujah. Man united in Christ. Glory to God. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means that Jesus' prayer will be the reason why he came, right? And that will be to see men saved. That means Jesus' prayer was focused on men. Was focused on men. Not on things, not on money. Not on money. So that implies that since Jesus patterned prayer for me, my prayer life should not be a life for money, life for things. No, my prayer life will be for men. Should be for what? Men. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's see how Jesus prayed for men. Look at that same Luke 22. Remember I told us we are going to dwell in Luke 22 today, yesterday. Luke 22, verse 44. Let's see how he prayed. Okay, we're done with 22, with 42. Let's go to 43. And an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Say, being in agony. That word, that means Jesus prayed in agony. That word agony is the word in the Greek agonia. Is the word in the Greek agonia. Okay. Is the word agonia. That word agonia implies to wrestle. How you wrestle. It implies to wrestle. To contest. Hallelujah. So it involves it's like a fight. So prayer is a fight. Jesus is praying for men and he prayed this way. The Bible says he knelt down and prayed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. And prayed. Like a fight, like a wrestling. That means it will carry physical movement, bodily movement. Meaning, it's not a standstill prayer. No, it involves movement. It's like a contest. Hallelujah! Prayer is a contest. Glory to God. Are you hearing me? A contest. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Those of you who have seen Pastor Dixon pray before, you know what it means by context. Look as if he's, you know, when Big Show wants to fight a war. Hallelujah, fight a wrestling. Glory to God. Even you be afraid. Glory to God. With baritone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I remember one of our meetings. I guess I was praying, and then we had a prayer meeting, and I was praying. I was sweating, and a brother went to meet his pastor, Pastor Bixie, and I says, Pastor Smart has anointing. He just got it. This is years back. I'm like, and I asked him how. You know, even he too is doubting too much. Pastor, this is, you know, when you support us now, nothing looks real. Even when you know an Arsenal fan, if they say Arsenal is winning, you're like, are you sure? Because they know they are doomed for losing. Hallelujah. Winning is not in their limit. So it's an Arsenal fan, you understand? Glory to God. Him and the other man of God there. Hallelujah. They know that for us now to win, that means a miracle has happened. It's not natural. Glory to God. So now he now in his actual nature now asks how. And the man has said, the way Pastor Smart was sweating. So the sweat was the anointing. I enjoyed that. That was funny though. I said, this is interesting, you know. Glory to God. Very interesting to hear that anointing is sweat. That means the guy that is jogging on the road in the morning is more anointed than some people sitting down here. I've never sweated, right, pray? No, sweat is not anointing. Hallelujah. So how did I even get there? Okay. So my smart guys. Amen. So it involves bodily movement. Glory to God. Bodily movement. Glory to God. Have you prayed with Pastor Dixon when he grabbed you? Even your prayer, you will say, you'll be releasing, give me air, give me air, give me air. Hallelujah. And he grabbed you. Amen. Man of God that will laugh. And his laughter is like he's falling under anointing. How much more is prayer? Amen. But it was bodily movement. Showing you that prayer is a fight. Prayer for men. For some people, when they pray that kind of prayer, it's pray against your enemy. No! For men! Men's salvation. Did you see that? Men's salvation. Salvation. And you are praying like that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I feel led to say this. You want to have more tremendous souls won? Spend more time praying for men in prayer. And launch out to them with a message. Oh, and you will see them in their numbers. You will see them in their numbers. But spend time in the place of prayer. Oh yeah, spend time, more time in the place of prayer. Spend time. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged that they are turning you down. Don't get discouraged. No, because over time, you just learn to say, I know the word, so therefore let me just step out. No. That is disobedience. Oh yeah, disobedience, and you think you're obeying. No, obedience is in first praise. Obedience is in first praise. First pray. Oh yeah. Get them saved in the place of prayer. Oh yeah. Because it's in prayer that men are better. Oh yes, it's in prayer that men are better. Nations are won. Oh, streets are won. Nations are won. Tribes are won. Ethnic groups are won in the place of prayer. Oh yeah. So rearrange the order. The order is not to go speak first then pray. No, the order is to pray first then go speak. Oh yeah. Rearrange the order again and spend them praying. And then you launch out to the world and you see them in their numbers. Oh, even as you yet speak, many will speak in tongues. Oh, even as you yet speak, many will come and they will hear of you. They will hear of you because why? You've settled it first in prayer. Oh, rearrange the order now. Rearrange the order now. Bet men in the place of prayer first. Oh, bet nations in the place of prayer first. Bet nations in the place of prayer first. Oh, Zagapato Soto Falatizia da Babeka. Oh, bet men in the place of prayer first. Bet them there first. Yes. And when you get out to speak, many will obey you. Many will yield to the voice of the Spirit through you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go ahead. Oh, glory to God. So, with that, prayer is a fight. And that is prayer for men. Hallelujah. Prayer is a fight. And that's prayer for men. Men to be saved. Now we're taking it one step further from where we stopped yesterday. Also for men to grow in the knowledge of the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We pray for men to grow in the knowledge of the word. You pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For them to grow in knowledge. Look at Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Are you there? Colossians 4. Verse 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently. You use that word, it shows that he's not one of. Always. That is the life of the Christian. Always. Are you following me? Always laboring for you in prayers. Glory to God. Laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Hallelujah. So prayer is continued. Prayer is continued. Prayer is not one of. It's always laboring. Laboring. That's the word in the Greek, agonizoma. From the same word, agonia. Agonizoma. It means to contest. It means a fight also. I hear me. Agonizomai. A fight. Meaning he was not just praying abstractly. No! He was involved in the prayer. Hallelujah. He was involved in the prayer. He was not praying and thinking of something else. No! He was involved in the prayer. James will put it this way. He said the effectual. I love how they amplify it. He said the effectual. Heartfelt, continued prayer of the righteous man. Heartfelt, meaning I'm involved in the prayer. Hallelujah. The effectual. That's what energy. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Effectual. have the prayer of a righteous man. He says he make a tremendous spark available. He says it availeth much energy again. Make a tremendous spark available. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So prayer, I'm involved in the prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm involved in the prayer. Glory to God. Glory to God. You can't get involved in prayer and you're praying 10 seconds. What kind of prayer is that? You think we're here to jump? No! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That sometimes you are praying. 1 hour is gone, 2 hours is gone. In fact, you don't want to stop again. Even when they say stop, you are still tonguing. Hey! Because you are involved in the prayer. Are you hearing me? You are involved. Glory to God. Jesus was involved in the prayer. Bible says his blood was like droplet of blood. That is no figure of speech. That is, it was so. Hallelujah. He said, no, that is figure of speech. You, let's see your own figure of speech. Have you ever prayed before your voice ceased? But the only time your voice ceased is a song concert, is worship concert. What happened with Mary yesterday? Your voice is gone. Hello? Come and see. I was just being blessed. You have blessed your voice away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Effectual, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. It makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not going that route today. No, I'm not. But we'll get something we'll have to look at after prayer retreat or even during prayer retreat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to say no. I will not today. Glory to God. Because there's a focus of this teaching which I don't want to lose. Amen. When men pray. Hallelujah. When men pray. When men pray, we don't pray abstractly. No, we are involved in the prayer. Glory to God. So, Paul shows us a preface. That's what he labored. You find out what agonizomai in Luke 13, verse 24. Luke 13, 24. John 18, 36. 1 Corinthians 9, 29. Colossians 1, 29. I'll take it again. Luke 13, 24, John 18, 36, 1 Corinthians 9, 25, Colossians 1, 29. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So prayer is not a pass by. No, it is a rescue. It's a rescue. Hallelujah. It's a rescue. It's not what you pray once. No, it is continuous. It involves my bodily movement. It involves my bodily movement. Hallelujah. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 4. The Bible says when they were done praying, the place where they were was shaking. It showed you that prayer was not... No! They prayed! Hallelujah! They prayed. The place was shaking. I've explained that to us. Not that the walls, it's not like the bricks were shaking, no. It shows that there was movement. Hallelujah. The things inside there were moving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Prayer is a rescue. Prayer is a rescue. Hallelujah. It's continued. Look at the church at Colossae. Remember they had an issue with secrecy, and also they had mistrust. Mistress of idol and the gospel. They had mistrust in Colossae. They had an issue. That church in Colossae. And Paul tells us that Epaphras prays for them. That they will stand strong in all the will of God. Did you see that? He prays for that spiritual group. And he didn't just pray. Remember, his prayer was not for unbelievers. It was praying for believers. For that spiritual group. And he prayed that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He prays for them. Even Paul shows us he to pray. Look at Colossians 1:9. Look at what Paul says. For this reason, I also, since the day I heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. Meaning it's continuous. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, this is what he prayed for concerning how. Now, this is not how he prayed. Hallelujah. We have seen the content of his prayer. So, how we pray, we will get it from Colossians 4:12. How? Earnestly. Hallelujah. Did you get this? To the church at Ephesus, he said, for this cause I bow my knee. Did you see that? We see that it involves. No, we need a God. Are you following me? Involvement. So Paul too pray for them to grow. Hallelujah. Though there is an impending issue of mistrust, yet they pray for them. Hallelujah. So when a man is not flowing or not in line in God's will, or in the will of God, or has developed bad habits, maybe your member, maybe even you yourself. Hallelujah. When a man is not flowing in line with God's will, or has developed a bad habit, yes, teaching that one is good. It's good to teach that one, but teaching alone wouldn't help that one. Hallelujah. Remember, we just read that prayer makes power available. Hallelujah. Makes power available. Power. The word power is called a Greek word. It has a Greek, different words that used to translate power in the Greek. But there's a Greek word that translates power dynamis. That's the word dynamis. The one we have the word dynamo. Like a catalyst, a dynamic ability to orchestrate changes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love how that man of God explained it. Hallelujah. A dynamic ability to cause changes. Glory to God. So teaching alone wouldn't help that one. You have to include prayer. Hallelujah. Your teaching becomes effective in the place of prayer. The effectiveness of a teaching, and I speak to every cell leader and every pastor that is listening to me. Hallelujah. The effectiveness of your teaching is not in your oratory. It's not in how good you are when it comes to English. It's not in the kind of primary, secondary, university you attended. It's not in your certificate. No! Are you hearing me? The effectiveness of your teaching is in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not in Greek or Hebrew. No. No. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You might see a man who is not learned in letters that much, like the apostles. They were not learned in letters, but yet we see the fact that they had influence over the lives of men that were brought to them. Hallelujah. We saw it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We saw the influence of the word in their teaching. Yet they made you see. Peter will make us see in Acts of Apostles chapter 6. That I will give myself continually to the ministry of the word and prayer. Prayer is vital. Are you following me? They were on their way to the temple to pray before they met the guy at the gate called Beautiful in Acts of Apostles chapter 3. Peter was hungry, but it was his hour of prayer. He went to pray in Acts of Apostles chapter 9. Are you following me? So prayer is a constant. Every serious Bible teacher must be a man given to prayer. Every serious Bible teacher, you must be given to prayer and given to constant study of the word. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory to God. No man who claims to know the scriptures that doesn't pray. If you claim to know the scriptures and you don't have quality prayer time, you know nothing. Because the excellency of what you know, probably that word, excellency. Excellence of what you know is not in how you display it. No, it's in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you have to include prayer. You pray to the end that habit is taught. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. The same way too, Paul showed us that he prayed. He showed us that he's praying for the church at Colossae, Colossians 1:9, and yet he came to them with the word. Are you following me? He came to them with the word. Hallelujah. Not just that. In chapter 4, verse 2, he now tells them to pray. Colossians 4, 2. Continue endlessly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Did you see that? Did you see that? So he instructs them now to pray. Did you see that? So that means that their impute is also important. Their impute is also what's important. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul tells us about the church in Galatians. In Galatians 4 verse 19. He says, my little children, say whom I travel in birth for. In Galatians 4:19, say, yet travaileth I again, say Christ be formed in you. That word travail is the word odino in the Greek. It's the way we have the word to labor. Labor, like a child, the way a woman is a labor of childbirth. I say, yet labor I again, say Christ be formed in you. So that means the same process I went through to see that you are saved. It's the same process I'm going through. Till you have, till what the word of God has full, or till you grow in the knowledge of the word. Did you see that? So it's a constant. You don't say, hey, I've won souls. Ooh, let me stop praying. No, you will keep praying again. Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? So the life of a believer is a life of constant prayer. It's a life of constant prayer. So when a believer sees that he's attracted to strange things, strange desires, it is as a result of an inconsistent prayer life. It doesn't just happen that somebody just left like that, somebody just stopped like that. You see, the stopping can just happen, but you know, it is a result of something that has been happening. There has not been a person of prayer. A man can just easily stop the work. A man can just easily put out the fire. You just, what you saw is that the man has put out the fire. But what you didn't see is the man has stopped praying for a while. Because I told some of our pastors yesterday, I said, some people can keep up with not praying for years. But one day it will show that you don't have a prayer life. It will show. Hallelujah. It will show. It will start for, you're no longer coming for meetings. You came once in 2 weeks. From once in 2 weeks to once in 4 weeks, from once in 4 weeks to once in 8 weeks, like that, nobody sees you. You have now gone on sabbatical. Is there? Satan has gotten a hold of you. Yes, Satan did have a hold of him, but Satan has been playing a long game. He has stopped praying. An inconsistent prayer life is what is the result you just saw. That inconsistency can be happening for years. Hallelujah. So it's a call to prayer. For some of us who are becoming tired and weak, hallelujah, is a call to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When a man of God calls out and says, it's the mission of my mind in the next 1 million years, in the next decades, I will not give up, I will not give in. He's not making empty threats. No! Maybe you that you're not praying and you're saying you're not making empty threats. Glory to God. Because that man knows he's giving to prayer. Glory to God. You guys talk about the foot. Eyes on the ball. I used to wait to pray that you are not praying. You stop looking at ball. You start seeing Paco. It's Paco, you see no ball again. You start seeing Pangolo. Your eyes will shift from ball to Pangolo. Glory to God. But the guy said, mission on his mind. You only copy what another person says. Hallelujah. A man whose heart is on the mission, a man whose heart is focused, is a man who is constantly in prayer. Never give up on prayer. Never. See, you don't pray when you see, if we are to pray when we feel like praying, we'll only be praying once in 10 years. Most times you don't feel like it. Most times you are tired, but you just stood up. Hallelujah. You're taking a strong stroll around the office. Hallelujah. Not to immediate on the slide, don't start it. Like, just take a stroll. Hallelujah. I'll share with some pastors what I do. Sometimes I get to the office very early. Very early. And drop my phones and everything inside the office. And just take a stroll. Because office starts by 8. So maybe I'm there by 6:30. That's why most of the time I try as much as I can to get to the office on time. So that from 6:30 I know I'm praying to you. 5 minutes to it, and I'm coming. Just take the tongues through. Hallelujah. You must say, most times you might not feel like it. But you know, it's necessity. Hallelujah. It's necessity. I am it. It's necessity. Prayer is not when you see pastor, that's when you want to pray. No! Prayer is your lifestyle. You make prayer your lifestyle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to pray. There's a call for us to pray. Are you hearing me? We just finished a series on understanding the gospel. Imagine understanding the gospel, we are praying. It's well patterned. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that is how we are ending our season on understanding the gospel for this year with prayer. Did you see that? So we'll pray, then we'll launch out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we pray steadfastly. We pray steadfastly. Hallelujah. When men pray. So, what happens when men pray? Let's answer that question sharply. With all what we've been teaching. What happens when men pray? One, they are aligned in the will of God. They are active in the will of God. When men pray, they are active. When men pray, strange habits are dropped. Strange habits are dropped. See, don't expect. Sometimes is there are some habits that you have to, you know. Okay, it's not responsible, but I pray for it once. Keep praying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to look for a word to qualify. Prayer has a, I don't want to use the word dual. It has a multi. I miss my grammar. For those who went to Novena and those who went to PCR and marine instructor, you guys should help me. Prayer has a, I want to use a word. I don't want to use the word dual because dual is two, right? Has a multi.
Multi
what? Help me. I don't want anything from Novena and GCI. Somebody else. Okay. Prayer has a multifaceted result or effect. It's not something you box in. Hallelujah. You don't, like, for example, I'm praying. I'm a man of constant prayer. You know, bad habits are dropped. I might not necessarily be praying for bad habits, but they are dropped. Bad friends are just cut off. Bad influence, you know, it. Glory to God. I want to show you something, why I said so. Look at what happened to Jesus in Matthew 17 when he went to pray and his body was changed. He went to pray. He carried his disciples. They went to pray in Matthew 17. For verse 2 and Mark 10, they are the same instance. Now, when they went to pray, what happened? The Bible says he was transfigured. He was changed. So that means, what was Jesus praying for? Redemption, right? As connected to redemption, right? Right? But you know what? You know what? He was changed. So that means he is the first recipient of his prayer. Hallelujah. So when men pray, the prayer changes you first. Are you following me? I might spend my time praying for my disciples, but you know what? I'm the first recipient. Glory to God. It changes me first. It changes me first. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Prayer changes the prayer. I love that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Changes the prayer. This is the summary of what we've been talking about. So you see them together. Hallelujah. So all this is what we've been discussing. It changes the prayer. Prayer makes power available. We saw that too in James. Now something vital I need you to see. In Acts of Apostles, chapter 13. Quickly, let's watch to Acts 13. Verse 1. It says, and they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, a man named, who was brought up by Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Did you see that? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Are you following me? As they did what? Ministered to the Lord. Glory to God. And when they had fasted and prayed. Do you see that? Verse 3. And when you have fasted and prayed. So that means prayer is means of prayer implies I am ministering to the Lord. So when men pray, they are ministering to the Lord. When men pray, ministering to the Lord is a word used for worship. Prayer is a worship. Are you following me? Prayer is what? Worship. Remember, we looked at prayer as a service before, right? Right? We have that message, prayer as a service. Prayer is a worship. Prayer is a what? Is a worship. Prayer is a worship. So, what happens when men pray? I'm worshiping God. I'm changed. Oh, things are happening around. Power is made available as I pray. Hallelujah. When I pray, I see men and nations saved. Hallelujah. Nations I might not be able to talk to, but you know, as I pray, there's a stirring up in that location. Men are stirred up. The heart of men are stirred up for the work there. Hallelujah. I might never get to some of the places I pray for. But you know what? I'm standing up. Hallelujah. The power of God in those places. And men are taking over there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Prayer. There's something I want to add, but it's something I will get yet discussed, not in this series, but in subsequent series. Prayer kills competition and jealousy. Just put it for today. It's something I'm going to teach you. Hallelujah. In the course of the year. Prayer kills competition and jealousy. It kills it. It makes a man selfless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, if prayer is surrounding God's will in the earth, if prayer makes me active in God's plan, that means I must be giving to prayer all the time to ensure I am in constant, or to ensure that I am constantly current with what the Spirit of God is doing in my world, in my location, and in my day to day. Hallelujah. Have you learned something today? Let's join our feet. And thank you. Just thank you.